I'm preaching this morning. If you want a title, the preach is The Treasure in the Test, in brackets, How to Fail Macroeconomics. And I'm going to start it with a beautiful story that actually illustrates what I'm wanting to preach on this morning. Because, you know, Will Murray, he said that everything is a test. Everything you are doing in life is a test. It is, success is going to test you. Hardship is going to test you. Enough money is going to test you. Too little money is going to test you. Marriage will test you. Parenting will test you. Your faith will test you. Everything is a test. And so I want to tell you a story about how I wrote a test. It was about 2004. I was at Stellenbosch University. People often ask me where I studied, and I tell them I attended Stellenbosch University. I didn't do, if I'm honest, a lot of studying there. But, I had my macroeconomics final coming up, and I had been spending my time surfing and adventuring and kind of having a real, like, a lot of fun. But I did not study for macroeconomics, and it was a module that I had to pass to be able to continue with my degree. And I ran out of time. And so it was 2 days before the test. I hadn't opened that textbook, and I knew that I was in trouble. But Adam being Adam, I was like, man, there must be a way. And fortunately for me, I had a friend who had some learning disabilities and was on quite a high dosage of Ritalin. And so I was like, man, I've got a plan. I know a way. So I went and I bought some of his Ritalin off him, and I took it, and I went and I sequestered myself in the library, and I studied for that test for about 32 odd hours that I sat there studying. And for that little period in time, I felt like I had superpowers. I could see sound. It really was amazing. I was like, is this how normal people fight? Like, it was incredible. And I sat there. I could focus. I read through this material. I went and I wrote that exam, and I was quoting paragraphs out of that macroeconomics textbook. It is one of the better results I ever got in university. But I want to tell you, please, by no means is that, I'm not endorsing that as a way to study. Please don't try it. Because I wrote that exam, and I went home and I got some sleep, and I woke up the next morning and I couldn't tell you what macroeconomics was about. I got the results. I sat there. I went through the 2.5 hours of testing. But man, to this day, I can't tell you what it's about. I don't even really know how I would apply macroeconomics in my life at the moment. And the problem is that if you write a test like that, it is useless to you. A test is useless unless it produces something in you, unless there's something that you actually take home. And I feel like for many of us, we sit in the room, we endure the test, we're there for the hours, we maybe even put some words on the page, but we leave and it doesn't produce something in us. And I might have a result, but it is of no good to me. And the purpose of testing is not that we would know something. The purpose of testing is that we would actually graduate. That for you and I as Christians, when we are tested, the point of our testing is that we would come through so that we would then be able to walk in the purposes for which we are there. The idea of me writing macroeconomics was to one day be able to sit and tell you what it's about. And I failed. I passed, and yet I failed. The pass of the test is also, the point of the test is for reward. Man, if I knew, it would be of some benefit to me. And so why are we tested? And I want to use a story out of Judges 3, verse 1 to 4. And the background to this is that Israel is finally in the promised land. So they've been wandering around in the desert. They've entered the promised land. They have managed to take hold of much of the land, but they were also a little bit disobedient to God, and they didn't fully drive out their enemies. And so they're living in this land, and they're living under the Mosaic Covenant, which is essentially that God gave them a way to live. He gave them some laws and some rules, and that if they would follow those laws and rules, they would be God's special people, his chosen possession. They'd live under his divine protection. They'd live under his blessings. They would be his special people. But they don't. They don't fully inherit the land. And so in Judges 3, verse 1 to 4, they've conquered much of the land. But then it says that these are the nations that the Lord left to test all of those Israelites who had not experienced any of the wars in Canaan. He did this only to teach warfare to the descendants of the Israelites who had not had any previous battle experience. The five rulers of the Philistines, all the Canaanites, the Sidonians, the Hivites, living in the Lebanon mountains from Mount Baal Hermon to Lebo Hamath. They were left to test the Israelites, to see whether they would obey the Lord's commands which he had given their forefathers through Moses. And so I want you to understand that if you are experiencing testing, it is both the Lord's kindness to you, it is ordained by him, it is set up by him, it is allowed by him, but it is there to produce something in you. And so we see here that testing is there to do two things. It's to produce something, and it's to prove something. So there was an entire generation that had come into this land that had never had to fight. They hadn't had to expel any of the tribes there. Their parents had done that. Their forefathers had done that. They were just kind of living in the land, and they were soft. And so to prepare them for war, to prepare them for battle, the Lord left in his kindness something for them to do, something for them to fight, so that they would learn to be trained for war. And the theory of this is not enough. There's this beautiful, it's a classic movie, it's a vintage, came out in 2001. It's called The Fast and the Furious. It was an amazing movie. But you know, that movie came out when I had just gotten my driver's license. And there was an entire generation of young men my age who, man, we had barely mastered the fundamentals of clutch control, but we were watching these guys do these 10-second quarter miles and drifting sideways around corners, and we were like, man, we've watched this movie. We're going to do this thing. And we drove like absolute morons because we'd seen something and we thought we knew what we were doing, and the fruit of that was bald tires and buckled rims and upset parents because we didn't actually know. We hadn't grasped the fundamentals. We hadn't learned. All we'd done is seen something that looked kind of cool and we thought we could do it. And I feel like for us as Christians, we're often that. We're jumping at things so far beyond our grasp and reach without even a fully mastered the fundamentals. And the reality for you and I is that we need to also realize we're in hostile territory. You right now, if you love and serve Jesus, you are in occupied hostile territory. You have got to know how to fight. And the only way you learn it is by doing it. I don't care how much MMA you watch. Go out there and throw some hands and let me know how that goes for you. It generally doesn't end well. So testing must produce something in us, but it also has to prove something in us. And this nation, they were living under a covenant. The Lord had said to them, if you hold to my ways, you will be my special people, you will live under my blessing, and you will have my favor. And so for us, when we hold to his ways, when we allow ourselves to be tested and we see the fruit of our obedience to him, it proves something to us. It proves that his ways are good. It actually proves that we should follow him. We need to know, actually, that we are able to be faithful to God's promises. And so what are these things that testing produces in us? One of the huge things we see that testing produces in us is faith and perseverance. If you're sitting and writing a test, who do you think needs to know the material? Who needs to know that you know what you're talking about? In macroeconomics, my lecturer doesn't care. He knows the material. He set the exam. He knows it all. It is for me to know that I know it. I need to walk out there with a knowledge and a confidence that actually I know what I'm doing. I know to a degree what I'm talking about. I have some kind of confidence in myself. And perseverance is where that comes in. You know, I've never seen someone who wants to run a marathon go and run around the block and they're like, I'm tired. Okay, I'm going to stop now. But tomorrow, two oceans. No. It's like you've got to run around the block, and when you are tired, you need to push through and you need to run around again. And then when you recover, you need to do it three times. You need to build up a perseverance. You need to build up the capacity and the ability to do these things. And it comes through testing. It comes through hardship. And it is perseverance that actually finishes this work in us. And that perseverance, there's an element of this that I want to talk about called faith. And for me, you know, God's word says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. I want to live a life as a Christian that pleases him. I love him, and I want to be in his favor. I want him to enjoy me. I want to please the Lord. And if my faith is the way that I'm going to please him, man, I want to know that that faith is a sure thing. I want to know that I'm operating from the right faith. I want to know that my faith is in the right place, that it's tested, that it's tried. I am building my entire life and my entire eternity on pleasing the Lord. And the central element of that is my faith. Man, I have got to test that thing and know that it is good. And in James 1, verse 2 to 3, I love this. It says, consider it pure joy. Now, normally when I see something start with consider it pure joy, I'm like, we're going to get some good stuff now. There's going to be some great news coming. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Who of you enjoys your trials? Who enjoys the difficult things? Who enjoys the tests and the hardships and those moments where you feel like you're so far beyond your faith and your comfort zone? So why then should we consider it a joy? Because, man, it is going to do something to you. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may become mature, complete, and not lacking in anything. Testing is going to mature you. It is going to complete you. I love it. It says, don't consider it pure joy, not if you face many trials. Consider it pure joy when. That word when means it's going to come. If you haven't been tested yet, A, what planet have you been living on? Because I want to go where you've been. But it's coming. Testing is going to come. And that testing is for us. It is for us, the student. We need to know. And the beautiful thing about a test, when you write it and you get the result, and you see, wow, I got, what's the pass mark now? It's lower than 30-something. Man, you guys have got it easy. When I was at school, it was 50%. Okay, you had to at least know half to keep going. But for us, man, if I got 40% for an exam, it's like I know at least 10% too little to move forward. And I need to know at least another 50% on top of that to know I'm fully complete. The beauty of testing is it will show you what you lack. The beautiful story about our failures is that it's like, man, I have something missing. I am an incomplete thing. And when we know that, it's actually really helpful because then we know what we need to supplement. We know what we need to build in. We know where we need to allow the Lord to come in and actually build and complete something in us. Testing will validate what you've been taught. And I remember as a young Christian, like when bucks were super tight and I started to make some money and then the Lord challenges me on tithing. And it was hard. But I was like, Lord, I know this is a test. And so I'm going to give and I'm going to be faithful in my tithing. I mean, I love it. There have been some wild times since then, but I know that the Lord is true to his word because I've never actually gone without. And even when times have been tough and tight, I've had the Lord's favor and I've had his closeness and I've had something that's worth way more than gold. And so for me now, it's not a difficult thing to be faithful in my finances because I've been tested on that. And I have found for me, like the Lord knows he's faithful. It's important that I know he's faithful because that then changes the way that I live. And so it validates what we've been taught. When we read these things in the word, the Lord is patient. Man, I have being stubborn, and I have lived under his patience. I know it to be true. I've got faith in him that even if I mess up now, he's not just going to come and crush me because he's a faithful, he's a kind father. I've lived under, I have this learned experience. And so I come to him with great faith because it's a tested and tried faith. And the purpose of these tests is to be passed. Satan will tempt you so that you fail. That's the whole point of a temptation. You're not supposed to win. You're not supposed to pass it. The point of a test is that you should pass it. And so testing, it matures us. It completes us. It allows us to supplement what is lacking in us. And then the great news is that as you pass that test and you come back tomorrow, there's another one. Because we are incomplete. And that shouldn't make you despondent. It is a good thing. The Lord wants to grow us. He wants to complete us. He wants us to have lives that are actually beautiful and rooted in Him, and where we rely on Him, and where we trust Him, and where we live from faith so that we can please Him. And so testing helps us, man. It shows us where our gaps are. It teaches us. It produces something in us. When we're tested, we learn to fight. We learn the weapons and the ways of warfare in the kingdom. It's through our testing that we learn to wield these weapons. I am tested often, and I have learned to actually love it. When I'm impatient, I'm like, Lord, I'm incomplete in this area. I'm incomplete in my self-control. I'm incomplete in my control over my emotions. Like, oh, Lord, would you come? Would you teach me this thing? Would you build it into me? Would you supplement it? When we're faced with uncertainties and fears and life's challenges come and we wobble and we're thrown, it is helpful for us to know that actually, man, there's an area of fear in me. I have an incomplete trust in the Lord. Lord, would you come? Would you supplement that? Would you build it into me? Would you teach me how to persevere through uncertainty and through fear and through hardship? Would you teach me your ways? Would you teach me your word? Would you show me what you're like? Would you help me? When we get offended and we get grumpy and we struggle to forgive, we can realize we've got an incomplete understanding actually of the forgiveness that we live in. Maybe we misunderstand aspects of His mercy and His grace towards us. We need to know this. We need to test ourselves against these things so that when there's lack, we can allow ourselves to be made complete. Success, the terrifying test. Because when you are successful, you are confident and you feel very secure and you don't have all the fears that everybody else has. The problem, though, is that where is your faith? Because if your faith is in that, your faith is in the wrong thing. And when that rug is pulled, what are you left with? How do you face life? Or maybe you might live in that success until the day you see Him face to face. And in that moment, to realize it is impossible to please God without faith. And I've built my faith on the wrong thing. And so I want to ask you this morning, actually test yourselves. And in a sense, I'm speaking to all of us, but maybe to those younger in the faith. Test yourself. Have you passed the fundamentals? Have you got the K53 clutch control down before you're trying to go sideways round corners? Man, I wonder this morning, you know, we're having this incredible moment of worship, singing about how the cross is empty, the grave is empty, and our God is alive. Who do you think needs to know that? Because I can tell you now, Jesus knows. Okay, He was on the cross. He was in the grave. He is currently alive. He's like, yeah, that's great information. Man, it is important for you and I to know that that is true. And I wonder, so many of us, we're stuck. We aren't growing in our faith. We have all these wrestles. And I wonder how much our lives would change if we could get out of our seats and actually come to the front and worship Him. Because we need to know that the cross is empty and that the grave is empty and that our God is alive. We are the ones who needs to know that He can come and can change and can work in us. We are the ones who maybe need to get out of our seats and take a step forward and bring ourselves before the Lord and allow Him to actually come and move and change in us. Are you even writing the tests? I think so many of us are here. We're sitting in the hall. We've put our name on the paper. And we're not putting anything on the page. We're just attending, like Adam, attending Stellenbosch. It will do nothing in you unless it goes into you. Having these responses on a Sunday, and it's beautiful, man. I love a moment of conviction in the Lord where you see something and you respond on a Sunday and you feel conviction drop. But what happens when we go outside on Monday morning? Are we allowing the testing in that moment to take these words and these moments of conviction and for them to actually go deep and produce something in us? Are you learning to give up your life and give up your ways and those pet habits that maybe the Lord convicts you of on a Sunday? Are you killing that? Are you putting your flesh to death and allowing His life to come in you? Are you allowing His Spirit to work in you? Man, I'll tell you my test at the moment, and I'm saying this with great fear and trembling because my wife's sitting by my phone. Do you know what a test my phone is for me at the moment? It's just always there, always wanting attention, always demanding things of me. And then I have these moments where I'm like, oh, Lord, you feel far. And He's like, yo, well, put the thing down. Put it down. Put it down. We go down these rabbit holes of pet doctrines and weird theologies, and we don't even fully grasp the fundamentals of our faith. Are you really ready to be chewing that? Where devotion is still a struggle for you. Living an open and accountable life is still a struggle for you. Forgiving is still a struggle for you. These are the fundamentals, and we haven't even fully grasped those. Some of us, I'm struggling in my relationships. I'm struggling in friendships. I'm struggling to feel connected in church. Can I ask you how your offense is doing? Seriously, how are your offenses? How quick and easily do you forgive? Have you confronted your own insecurities, or are there still this wall and this shield around you that you're not letting anyone else into? Are you letting people in? Are you living accountably? These are the foundations of fellowship in the faith. If you're not even walking in those, if you're not even passing those tests yet, man, I'm not surprised you're feeling disconnected. We need to forgive. I know it's hard. I know at times that they don't even deserve forgiveness. You and me both. And yet we live under the Lord's undeserved forgiveness and grace and mercy. And we hear that preached on a Sunday, and it sounds amazing, and we love to stand there like, oh Lord, thank you. And yet we can't extend that to others. That test, you have not taken that information and owned it. It has not produced something in you. We struggle to hear the Lord. I just don't know what He's saying. Are you opening your Bible? Seriously. One of our primary sources of the Lord's Word is His Word. It is there. Like, you could open that thing anytime. Are you struggling to hear the Lord? I could let you hear Him right now. Take it out and read it. You'll see His Word. His heart will come through to you. You'll start to see His ways. I find that the more I know the Lord, the more I've learned His ways, which I learned from His Word, the easier it becomes for me to hear Him and to understand what He's saying. It has never been easier to read the Word of the Lord. We have got so many incredible translations out there. There's some dodgy ones, but there's some great ones. There are incredible commentaries that even break down and explain the Word to us. I'm going to give you a little inside info to guys who preach. When people come and they tell you what things mean in the Greek and the Hebrew and what context, they don't speak Greek and Hebrew, right? None of us really do. I've never met anyone. But we have commentaries that are able to help us and open the Word up to us, and we wrestle with these things and we dive into it and we take the time and we spend it. And we learn the Lord's ways. We learn to read His Word and to apply it. If you're struggling to hear the Lord, have you listened to the last thing He said? Because this is the thing about passing a test. You don't go from macroeconomics 1 to macroeconomics 2 until you've passed macroeconomics 1. And that is the test. Obedience is a test. Have you listened to the last thing He said? Are you living in obedience to His ways? Because the terrible thing about unrepentant continued sin is you can actually, you sear your conscience, you callous your heart, you can actually dull and quieten the voice of the Holy Spirit in your life if you don't live in obedience to the Lord. And so when I don't hear Him for a while, it's usually a big warning sign for me. It's an alarm bell that goes off. It's like, man, Lord, if I know You're always speaking. You say that Your sheep will hear Your voice. The implication of that is that You're speaking. So if the sheep isn't hearing, something's wrong with the sheep. Maybe there's something in me. Maybe there's some area of sin or disobedience or I haven't listened. I will go and I will test myself. I'll examine my heart. I'm like, Lord, what is it? Because I know you're speaking. If you're struggling to hear the Lord, man, do you nurture his presence? Do you nurture it? And by nurture it, I mean, do you make time? It is a noisy and a loud world. Are you setting aside the time? Is there an hour in your day that is set aside with no distraction, no noise, no cell phone, no kids, no, where you're just letting the Lord speak, quietening the noise, slowing down, listening? Try it. Try it for a week. Try it for a week. And come back and tell me if you don't hear him speak in some way to you. So the problem of these tests is if you don't graduate, if you don't pass the fundamentals, you can't go forward. And macroeconomics, you can cheat, like I did. The problem with these tests is you can't skip them, you can't cheat them, and no one can write them for you. I can sometimes feel such a frustration as an elder and as a pastor and as a guy who walks with people because, man, I can't write this for you. The best I can do is give you the information and the study material and show you what to do, but I can't do it for you. And I want to see you succeed. I want to see you walk into what the Lord has for you. I want to see you live a life that's pleasing to him. And so testing, let it produce something in you. Consider it a pure joy when you face these things, knowing that it's going to build perseverance in you. And if you fail the test, write it again. Perseverance is writing it again. You go again and again and again. How many of the guys in this room passed their driver's license first time? I know it's a sore point for many of you, but some of us are around 8. Well, you're never going to drive unless you pass it. Go and write it again, man. And when you fail, there's even a lesson to be learned in that. Now you know where the gaps are. And the Lord is kind and he is patient and he will come in and he will fill those gaps. So testing, let it produce something in you. And the second thing that testing does, which we see in that passage from Judges, is that testing proves something. It proves something to us, and it proves something in us. And so 1 Peter 1, verse 3 to 8, it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. All your tests are worth it because there is a living hope." Okay, so it's not all bad news. It's not just test, test, test. The test is going to produce something, but it is also going to get you somewhere and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in that last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though for now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials or tests. These have come so that your faith, of greater value than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved to be genuine and may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Our faith is tested. We sometimes don't know what type of faith we have or where it is. If our faith is in our security, that's very helpful information to know. I want to know that my faith is tested and is genuine. I want to know that it's sincere and that it's true. That actually when I say I trust the Lord, it is important for me to know that I trust him. Because next month, when there are financial difficulties again, I need to know that I've got the faith that my God is a provider and that he is good and that he's going to look after me. And that even if it's wild, man, he's in it with me. I need to know that because what I believe, my faith is going to determine the way I live and I'm going to determine my actions. I need to know that faith's strength. I am going to put a lot of weight in my life on my faith. I want to know that it bears up to the load. And the only way you know that is by experience. The only way you know whether it's going to take your weight is you step on it and you put load on it. Your faith will be purified when it's tested. It's great. Often, our faith gets little elements, little impurities, little other influences or securities that come into it. When it is tested, then you know it's pure. Faith will keep you sharp when it's tested. I love this. A little story about last week's Sunday. So we're preaching, okay? I'm preaching Easter Sunday. You would think it's the easiest preach of the year. It should be. It's like the easiest altar call of the year. It's like Jesus is alive. There's this incredible news. It's Easter. Our sins are paid for. We're redeemed. It is like the easiest preach to do and get responses to the gospel. And I preach my guts out and we make an opportunity for response and there's nothing. I'm like, okay, cool. All right. I was expecting a little more. And then some guys come to me, they're like, man, we're just feeling like there's someone in this room who needs to respond, who needs to give their life. And there's this witness. And then Nadine comes in, she throws it out again, and we get one response. And I'm like, beautiful, man, that's epic. And we carry on worshiping, and I cannot shake this feeling that there are more people that need to respond. And I'm wrestling with this thing, and then two or three other people come. They're like, hey, we just feel like there are more people that need to respond. And honestly, I'm like, yeah, I know, but I don't know what to do. Like, I tried my best, guys. I threw out what I thought was quite a convincing altar call. Like, Nadine, I mean, she got one more than me, which is amazing. But like, but what is going on? And you know what happens in that moment? There's a few of our leaders, they get together, and they go outside, and they start praying. And they start interceding, and they start fighting. And actually, my faith in that moment was purified because I thought that it's going to be an easy Sunday and I've got a good word and I put out a convincing altar call. And if I'm honest, I think there was parts of my faith that were maybe rooted in those three things instead of the person of Jesus. And it is when we stopped and we went outside and we prayed and we warfared and we fought. And then five people respond in that moment. Does that not both build your faith and stretch your faith and purify your faith? And the point of all of this is so that we would receive the end reward of our faith. There is a point to all of this. There's a great prize, a great treasure in the testing. And that treasure is that there is a living hope. There is the person of Jesus. And there's not just him, but there's an inheritance that he talks about that is kept for us in heaven. A lot of our testing, yes, it's for here that we'd come through, but man, it is for there. It is kept. It is incorruptible, imperishable. It is of incalculable value. A lot of our wealth here on this planet is tied to the gold standard, backed by gold. And it says that this is worth even more than gold. So we want to pass, man. There's a prize. There's a qualification. There's something we'll walk in. There's a point at all. There's the return of Jesus. It actually says that if we persevere to the end, we will see him face to face. I pass my test here because I want to see him. It is why I live. It is the whole purpose of my existence is to see Jesus as much here as I possibly can. But man, that day. It is for his praise, for his glory, for his honor. When your faith is tested and proved, you know who gets the glory? Man, it's Jesus. I love it. I don't get the glory for last Sunday's preach because it didn't produce the results I thought it was going to. You know what got the result? Man, we prayed. And Jesus moved. And his spirit moved. And people were set free. He gets all the glory and the praise and the honor. Then it says at the end of Peter, that it will result in the praise and glory and honor when Jesus is revealed. We are going to see him. We are going to be finally saved. On that day when we meet him face to face, the evidence of our testing, what it has produced in us, the final proof is going to be evident and clear as we look at him. It is our ultimate graduation is going to be into the presence of Jesus. And when you get there, no one takes that result away. That is yours forever and ever and ever if you would write the test here. And I'm desperate for us to start passing. I really am, and not for me. I can't write this thing for you. I don't get the result for your successes. You do. This will change your eternity. Two quick handles. How do we pass? And there are many, but I felt like these two. Learn to fight with his word. Learn to fight with his word. When the test comes and I don't know the answers, man, I go and I look through his word because it's in there. He tells us what to do when we are offended. He tells us what to do when we are scared. He tells us what to do when we are worried about our finances. He tells us what to do when people are sick. How are we going to know what answers to write if we haven't gone through, for lack of a better word, the study material? But it's there. His ways are there. Wrestle with his word. And when you don't understand it, don't just tap out. Wrestle with it. Fight with it. Ask people. Ask elders. Ask guys to explain it to you. Because that's when you change from the sense of, I feel like this, or I feel like the Lord's doing, or I feel like the Lord's saying to, man, I know. I know. I've got something hard I can hold to that's independent of my feelings and my experiences and my perceptions of things. It's his word. And then learn to pray. Take your tests to the Lord. When you fail the test, go to him and say, Lord, I'm sorry, for starters. But secondly, would you come and help me? Would you build into me? Would you supplement what's lacking? He's a living hope, man. He is the best tutor. He is the best teacher. He's the best instructor that you will ever have. Take these things to him. And so I hope that we all realize that we are writing a test. And that if you're writing a test, it is supposed to be hard. The fact that it's hard is not a bad thing. It is going to produce something into you. It is going to produce faith and perseverance. And I would love for us not to just attend the things of the faith. Not just to attend the Sundays and attend the Wednesdays and attend to our mornings with the Lord, but to actually let him come in, man. Let it produce something in you. Let it mature you, complete you, grow you, so that you would be lacking nothing. And when it's hard, don't tap out. Persevere. Write it again. Pass. Let your faith be proved. Know that your faith is secure, sincere, and true. Know how to wield it. Stretch it. Test it. Keep it sharp. Have humility, man. None of us have fully graduated. I am always learning. I will be learning till the day I see him. So when a test comes, lean into it. Don't think you know more than the examiner. And know this, it's more worth than gold. It is worth it.